and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer. I'm the founder of the Community Roundtable, and I'm joined today, as always, by my capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Shannon.
Good morning, Jim. We are excited to be recording another episode of the podcast for you. Spoiler alert, first episode of 2021. We are super excited to be joined by a member of the CR Network, Sam Pyrock, today. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. It's Friday, so, I mean, things are looking up. Sam, we would love if you could kick us off by introducing yourself to our audience, telling us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Sure. Well, I'm Sam Pyrock. I am the community manager for Extreme Networks. You may know us best. We supported the Super Bowl, I think, the last 7 years in a row. And we're a support community. So admins that are running their own networks come to us for help or advice with their networks and their products that they're using.
Awesome. Let me kick us off by asking you a question about your community. Can you tell us more about the kind of community you have, maybe how long it's been around, that sort of thing? Just kind of some basic community background.
Yeah, the community, I'm told, has existed for 6 years. I just started as the community manager for Extreme back in July, so I've only had about 6 months to play with it. But I'm told it is about 6 years old, and they actually inherited it from a company that they acquired. So it wasn't something that Extreme built on their own, but they were excited about it when they found a company that had a good community running.
And is it a customer community? I mean, I assume it's a customer community.
Customers and partners. It's public. You have to sign in to comment or post new questions, but you can browse and knowledge articles without signing in. So it's fairly public.
And it sounds like it may not have been flourishing when you joined the company. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you came into and what you've done to date to kind of breathe more life into it?
Sure. Yeah. When I started, they had a less than 1% participation rate and a less than 20% answer rate. They had about 37,000 members when I started. So it's a large population, but it wasn't very active. There weren't a lot of resources on there. We had basically just a simple form. You can post questions and search for other questions, but that was it. No knowledge resources, no events, no heavy community employee practice or participation. So when I started, it was pretty quiet, but we had some active members still out there trying to help each other, like a handful of them. So when I started, my focus was mainly to provide value for people to come into the community again. So answering questions was the first thing. I have a technical background. I was technical support for about 5 years. So I knew one of the lines of products very well, so I can help answer their questions right off. And then I have experience building relationships with technicians. So I was able to get them answers faster to their questions. And now we have about a 70% answer rate. And then we've just been trying to encourage users to answer and give them reasons to come back. And we've added a knowledge base to our community. We have over 50,000 articles, how-to articles, troubleshooting articles, things like that. So much more of a resource these days, and we're actually actively participating. And our peer-to-peer, instead of just employees answering everything, our peer-to-peer rate is over 70%, which I'm very excited about. So we've really been able to encourage members to talk to each other and help each other out.
Wow, it sounds like you've really turned it around. Let me kind of ask a question that's related to that. Was the organization supportive of the community when you first joined? Did you need to go out and do a lot of evangelizing on behalf of the community? And if so, can you talk a little bit about what you've done over the last 6 months to kind of raise the awareness of the community and the importance of the community within the organization?
Sure. So when I started, they hired me directly for the community, and I was a community moderator right before this. So their focus was to reinvigorate the community. So they already had that in line. And my manager already understands the value of community, which is fantastic to work with. I've had managers in the past that didn't really understand the value or the feedback we could get from the community. So it's been really wonderful working with people that do appreciate the value. I am kind of a team of one, though, so they don't have any other resources dedicated to the community full time. So I did have to go out and kind of evangelize with the support groups who weren't used to coming to the community and answering questions. They've got plenty to do. Thank you very much. We don't need to be answering questions for free was a big pushback I got, because we do have a paid support system for our customers. So it was a lot of conversations about, hey, I'm not providing in-depth support over here. We're just providing some basic answers to kind of get those easy cases out of your way so you can focus on the more difficult, more intricate cases. You're building up customer relationships. So, I mean, if they're happy, they're going to come back to you. And if they keep not getting an answer and just kind of shouting into the void, they're going to get frustrated. They're going to look other places, possibly at other products that have active communities that they can't actually get an answer from. So I found that talking technicians into helping, you have to show them what they get out of it. And it's not really a selfish thing. It's that they're very time focused and time management focused. They have to finish a case and move on. And it's very goal oriented. So showing them the value that they can get and how we're going to eliminate all those fairly annoying cases where they answer the same questions over and over again. If we can get those out of the way, they can focus on the cases that improve them as technicians. That it's a harder question. You have to do more research. Dig deeper into it, spend more time there. So that was a lot of the conversation I had around the support, but the management and the executive were already fully committed to making the community a resource again.
That's such great advice. I think we probably have a lot of listeners out there who are saddled with a similar situation. I mean, it's not a secret. Engagement is the number one problem or question we get from everyone. Do you have any... for anyone in a similar situation coming into a community or dealing with a segment of a community that's just not flourishing, are there like two or three tips you could give about quick wins? Like when you come in and like immediate changes you made or immediate programs you've implemented?
So the community I had before this community was also fairly old when I got to it. It was about 5 years old and had been fairly neglected. So both times my focus was, why would people come here and how can I give them more for their time? So for us as a support community, we have questions that need answering. That's why they're coming to us. They need information and they need help quickly. Because all of these are production networks and everybody's so dependent on wireless and wired connection these days. I mean, working from home or in an office, it's just essential for everybody all the time. So it's a high stress situation. So they're coming to us for help and we need to give it to them. So the programs that I implemented immediately were getting those questions answered as quickly as possible. So the technicians and the process of how do I throw a question over the wall? Who am I throwing it to? And when should I expect to get something back? And if I don't, who's the next person to talk to? So that system was the first thing that we set up. How do I get these questions answered quickly and accurately, obviously? And then the next is providing more value. So they're coming for help, but they also would probably appreciate a lot of self-help tools. So if we can just have a guide already there for them, they don't have to wait for me to answer the question or to throw it over the wall and get an answer back. So the second focus for me is, how do I help them help themselves? So that's a lot quicker. It gives a lot more personal satisfaction for them. They're not as frustrated and they can come back to us with confidence again. And then I guess the third is how to make it fun. So we're about to launch a gamification system. So I deal with a lot of IT admins. They're there to do their job and move on to the next task. But if we can make it exciting or at least a pleasant experience for them to come in and get some kind of reward back for coming in, then they're going to keep coming back to us and have a higher satisfaction with our brand.
I love that. And I love the fact that you mentioned figuring out the best way to have your customers help themselves, make it easy for them. And I'm wondering, you early in the conversation, you talked about a knowledge base or kind of developing a knowledge base. Is that something that's been a priority for you? And how's it going? I mean, I think for a lot of customer success communities, getting a knowledge base in place and feeding it based on responses that are happening in the community is critical. And I'm just wondering how that process is going for you.
It's going pretty well. Like I said, when I came in, we hadn't even attached our current knowledge base to the community. So that was a big win right off the bat. And then as far as maintaining it goes, we use a process called KCS, Knowledge Centered Solutions. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with that yet, but I'm a huge fan. And it's basically a beautiful system. It's been corrected over, I think, about a decade now that they've been trying to use it and maintain it. They're on like the sixth version. It's been used by tons of well-known companies of course, I can't think of any of them off the top of my head, but it's pretty popular and it's been tested, which is what I love. And it's I don't want to go too much into it because that's not the topic, but it's a self-correcting system where if you use a guide, the technician who's on the front line, who's handing these guides out to the customers, is in charge of kind of quickly reviewing it and making sure it's relevant. And if it's not, they can quickly flag it and then, or they can edit it themselves. So we're really moving the knowledge creation and maintaining process away from like a separate knowledge team kind of in the back rooms. They're not dealing with customers. We just tell them what we need and they give it back eventually. We're moving that responsibility over to the technicians so they can create resources that are useful to them in the moment, and they can tell us exactly what resources we should focus on improving and maintaining. And if an article is not used, then it never really comes into the KCS cycle, so we're not wasting effort on resources that aren't actively being sought out. So that's how we maintain our knowledge base as KCS. And that's a topic near and dear to my heart. When I was a technician, I started writing guides just as an aside kind of thing. If we didn't have it, I wanted it to hand to a customer, especially the next one and the next one, so I didn't have to keep rewriting the same thing. So I'm a big lover of documentation, and then KCS, I think, is probably the best system I've ever seen on how to deal with that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've really figured out a way to scale your work around building that knowledge base, kind of maintaining that knowledge base. That's amazing. One other question kind of in this vein is around either an advocacy program or power users. And I'm wondering what your experience is there, and have you begun to develop that there at Extreme?
Yeah. When I first came in, like I said, I had a handful of people that were still very bravely slogging through all of the questions and trying to do the best they could without a lot of support. So those guys, I immediately reached out to them, said, hey, thanks for your participation. You've kept this alive basically on your own shoulders, and that's fantastic. I'm here to help you. Let me know what you need. You're going to see me a lot more active in the community, so it should be easy to find me, and we're going to try and get you guys some resources. And then a couple months into that, we asked them their opinion on something. I'm trying to remember what that was. Gamification themes. So we're about to launch a gamification program. It's my first one. My last community didn't have that, so it's kind of a new territory for me. So I reached out to our super users. There were about 18 of them at that point that were actively on the community most days and really stretching themselves, trying to reach out to everybody. And I asked them for ideas on themes that they would like to see, ideas on rewards they would be motivated by, things like that. So I got a lot of good feedback from them, and we narrowed it down to 6 themes, and now we've got an internal survey going for that. So that's what I've used my super users with so far. I'm also going to ask them to help me demo the gamification system. So these guys are really going to be on the front lines. They're going to see their feedback immediately implemented in the community. So that kind of gives them a good sense of involvement and responsibility.
Sam, I'm going to right now ask you to come back in 6 months, 8 months after the gamification program launches, because I think it sounds like you're laying really great groundwork for it. And I want to hear what happens. Like, you're keeping us in suspense. I love it.
Yeah.
So there will be Sam part 2, everyone, if she agrees.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to come back.
So one of the challenges, I think, of taking over an older, less loved community, less focused on community, is dealing with people that have been using the community, trying to use the community, and haven't had good experiences. Have you had any experiences trying to turn the sentiment around in a community, working with, we'll say, saltier members?
Yes, I actually had a little bit of an advantage on this one, starting the second community that I've been a part of, because my old community kind of got absorbed into this community. So I had people that were familiar with me and my work. So I had some advocates right out of the gate in this second community that knew that I was going to be active, that I was going to be their advocate, that I would work with them. And so as soon as I hit the second community, I had a few people kind of send up flares like, oh my God, so glad you're back. We love to see you. So I had some support right there. In both communities, though, we've had users that were very upset about they didn't get an answer to the question, something didn't work out the right way, they had a misconception when they purchased the devices on what it can do, and now it can't. So we've had plenty of those people. As far as how I deal with them, I try to put myself in their shoes first and foremost. I've been everybody has had to call in to a support line, so you know that you're immediately frustrated before you even get there. And then if you get an answer you don't like or didn't expect, your frustration level is just out of control. So I try to put myself in their shoes. I know they're frustrated. I know what they're looking for is an answer to X. So immediately I try to say it back to them, like, hey, you're looking for this. If I've got that wrong, do let me know. But this is what I'm hearing from you. This is what you need. I'm going to go find it. Here's vaguely how I'm going to do it. And here's where you should expect to hear back from me. So even if I don't have an answer, I'm going to tell you at the end of the day, hey, I'm still looking into this. You're going to hear from me at X time. So setting those expectations calms everybody down. They know what to wait for. They're not just sitting there hoping you're going to call them any second now. Maybe they've got different expectations. If you don't set that deadline and you say, hey, I'm going to talk to you soon, half an hour goes by and then they start getting frustrated again. So being specific, setting expectations, and then being very sure to meet those expectations and build that level of trust. And it's also, I try to frame the conversation as if it's us against the problem and not, hey, I'm so sorry you're having this problem. This is clearly your problem. I'll do what I can kind of thing. It's more of a, this is our problem. Here's how we're going to fix it. Here's what I'm going to do to help you. Here's what you should expect from me. So just kind of making it an us versus the problem versus a you against me conversation really helps turn people around quickly. And then we can focus on solving the problem instead of having personality conflicts.
Such great
advice. Wow, you're so...
You can go ahead.
You know, it's just, you're so even keel and it sounds like you figured it all out, Sam. So this might be an easy question for you to answer, but what's your community superpower and why do you see it that way?
The trust between the users and myself is what really gets us through any problem. So we had a pretty major problem. I won't go into details this week, but we did have a pretty major setback this week and we had a lot of very frustrated people. But as soon as I found the thread, I let them know, hey, this is on my radar. I don't have any information for you right now, but you know that I'm here and I'm looking at it. And if you come back to this thread, I'll see what you say. So it's really, and that calmed everybody down almost immediately. I had no bad posts after that. People were still having the problem, but nobody was expressing high levels of frustration. So it's really the trust between them and myself. And even new members, they don't know me, but they're going to see my name all over the community. They're going to see I answer a ton of questions and I'm trying to be helpful. So as long as they know that I'm here and somebody is listening and someone will come back to them eventually, I think that helps everybody get through any of the problems that we come across.
And how do you make sure that you yourself don't get burned out? I know we talk a lot about community management, self-care, and I guess, do you have any tricks on making sure you stay sane?
Yeah, as a younger person in college in my first couple jobs, I actually wasn't great at noticing when burnout was coming. I would just kind of go full force until I hit a wall and then I had to deal with that. So I'm familiar with the struggle of burning out and not really seeing that coming. For me, the community job itself has really helped me. Like tech support, it's case by case by case and customer by customer. In the community, I have people that I work with continually every day. And honestly, they're so positive and so happy. And I get instant gratification when I can help somebody that the community job really keeps me sane because I get that positive feedback and people are openly happy that I could help them. And I get more feedback than I think you do with cases because they come back and they can advocate for me and they can tag me for help in other posts. So that positive relationship and the give and take between our customers, it just makes me happy that I can help these people. And then I see them turn around and help somebody else. So it's just, I think running a community is a really positive experience if you've got the right people. And I really do.
Sam, I love hearing you talk about your job. I want to be in your community. I want you to be my community manager. If you're ready, and we didn't really prep you for this, we like to end the podcast with like a speed round, a lightning round of questions. So if you're ready, we're going to start with the first question.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Cat or dog?
Oh, dog. I have my dog right next to me. He's a cattle dog, pit bull mix. I'm a huge dog person.
Oh, so Sam, you're going to need to send me a picture so we Absolutely. Can include the picture with the podcast because inquiring minds, specifically me, would like to see.
Oh, he's
and
adorable.
You're talking with a couple of other dog people, so bring it on.
Excellent.
Our next speed round question is favorite dessert.
Ice cream. since I was a kid. It's my favorite food, really, which is a problem.
What kind of ice cream is your go-to?
Oh, I don't have a favorite flavor. I think coffee right now has been a lot of fun. I have an ice cream maker, so I can make some for my husband and I. So that's been fun.
So this question might or might not be related to the last question. What are you binging right now? Could be ice cream, could be Netflix.
I really like reading and hiking, so I can't really binge hiking. I am reading a series by, let me look it up. He's a really fantastic author, and I just discovered him. But Patrick Rothfuss, Game of Thrones, obviously, I'm a huge reader constantly. This guy, I remember his name is Kong, Alaron Kong. He's got an RPG fantasy series that is just fantastic.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, the next question is really focused on work again. So given the pandemic, we've all become experts at work from home. Wondering what your favorite or best work from home hack is.
The lack of commute has really opened up my life. I have that extra hour and a half to cook or read or play games with my husband, play with my dog. So I love working from home. I was actually working from home for about a year before the pandemic. So I had a head start. I'd figured out all the pitfalls and distractions and how to deal with all those. But yeah, the lack of commute has been honestly my favorite part.
I hear you on that. It's just so nice to be like, I'm not rushing everywhere all the time. It's really exciting. So last question, who or what is your community inspiration? Is there a person or another community that you've gained sort of ideas and inspiration from?
That one's tough. I kind of fell into community. I was support and then I moved to community. So I didn't have a lot of community experience or really communities that I was a part of. Since then, the CRM, honestly, has been my big inspiration for how to run a positive and happy community. It's a different focus, but it's just the people are so fantastic and you have so many different perspectives that I really enjoyed that. When I started, my biggest inspiration, I worked with a colleague who was just great at answering questions and not making me feel like I was a burden when I had to come to him for questions. We all had to get on the phones and answer the cases as quickly as we could, but he took the time to help me and he made me feel like he was on my team every time. So he's really my inspiration. He really helped me understand how to approach problems that make people feel comfortable. Even though there is a problem, we're fixing it. So it's not really a problem. It's just a temporary thing we're dealing with.
Well, Sam, that's the end of the lightning round and the end of the podcast. And it has been genuinely a delight to talk to you today. I also want to say our podcast technician did let me know today isn't Friday. Doesn't matter for anyone else listening out there, but I thought it was Friday all day until about 20 minutes ago. So
I was thinking about asking Sam if it was Thursday or Friday is the last question in the speed round, but you jumped in too quickly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a little, thank God we had this podcast to make me happy because I would have been real depressed if I hadn't gotten to talk to Sam. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. And I am serious. I will ping you in about 6 months to hear about the gamification program.
Right. Please thank you, Sam, so much. And we look forward to seeing you in the CR network.
Same here. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.